Disc 2.
Chapter 6. Practice the A, B, C, D, E method continually. William Matthews once said, "The first law of success is concentration, to bend all the energies to one point and to go directly to that point, looking neither to the right nor to the left." The more thought you invest in planning and setting priorities before you begin, the more important things you will do, and the faster you will get them done once you get started. The more important and valuable the task is to you, the more likely you will be motivated to overcome procrastination and launch yourself into the job. The ABCDE method is a powerful priority-setting technique that you can use every single day. This technique is so simple and effective that it can, all by itself, make you one of the most efficient and effective people in your field. The power of this technique lies in its simplicity. Here's how it works. You start with a list of everything you have to do for the coming day. Think on paper. You then place an A, B, C, D, or E before each item on your list before you begin the first task. An A item is defined as something that is very important. This is something that you must do. This is a task for which there can be serious consequences if you do it or fail to do it, like visiting a key customer or finishing a report for your boss that she needs for an upcoming board meeting. These are the frogs of your life. If you have more than one A task, you prioritize these tasks by writing A1, A2, A3, and so on in front of each item. Your A1 task is your biggest, ugliest frog of all. Now, a B item is defined as a task that you should do, but it only has mild consequences. These are the tadpoles of your work life. This means that someone may be unhappy or inconvenienced if you don't do it, but it's nowhere as important as an A task. Returning an unimportant telephone message or reviewing your email would be a B task. The rule is that you should never do a B task when there is an A task left undone. You should never be distracted by a tadpole when there is a big frog sitting there waiting to be eaten. A C task is defined as something that would be nice to do, but for which there are no consequences at all, whether you do it or not. A C task includes phoning a friend, having coffee or lunch with a coworker, or completing some personal business during work hours. This sort of activity has no effect at all on your work life. A D task is defined as something you can delegate to someone else. The rule is that you should delegate everything that anyone else can do so that you can free up more time for the A tasks that only you can do. An E task is defined as something that you can eliminate altogether and it won't make any real difference. This may be a task that was important at one time but which is no longer relevant to yourself or anyone else. Often it is something you continue to do out of habit or because you enjoy it. But every minute that you spend on an E task is time taken away from a task or activity that can make a real difference in your life. After you've applied the ABCDE method to your list, you'll now be completely organized and ready to get more important things done faster. The key to making this ABCDE method work is for you to now discipline yourself to start immediately on your A1 task and then to stay at it until it's complete. Use your willpower to get going and stay going on this one job, the most important single task you could possibly be doing. Eat the whole frog and don't stop until it's finished completely. Your ability to think through, analyze your work list, and determine your A1 task is the springboard to higher levels of accomplishment and greater self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. When you develop the habit of concentrating on your A1 most important activity, on eating your frog, you will start getting more done than any two or three people around you. Now, here are two exercises you can use to put these ideas into action. First, review your work list right now and put an A, B, C, D, or E next to each task or activity. Select your A1 job or project and begin on it immediately. Discipline yourself to do nothing else until this one job is complete. Second, practice this ABCDE method every day and on every work or project list before you begin work for the next month. By that time, you will have developed the habit of setting and working on your highest priority tasks, and your future will be assured. Chapter 7. Focus on Key Result Areas. Norman Vincent Peale once said, "When every physical and mental resource is focused, one's power to solve a problem multiplies tremendously." Why are you on the payroll? This is one of the most important questions you ever ask and answer, over and over again throughout your career. As it happens, most people are not sure exactly why they're on the payroll. They're not clear. But if you're not crystal clear about why it is that you are on the payroll and what results you have been hired to accomplish, it's very hard for you to perform at your best, get paid more, and promoted faster. In its simplest terms, you have been hired to get specific results. A wage or a salary is a payment for a specific quality and quantity of work that can be combined with the work of others to create a product or service that customers are willing to pay for. Each job can be broken down into about 5 to 7 key result areas, seldom more. These are the results that you absolutely, positively have to get to fulfill your responsibilities and make your maximum contribution to your organization. Key result areas are similar to the vital functions of the body, such as blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, and brainwave activity. An absence of any one of these vital functions leads to the death of the organism. By the same token, your failure to perform in a critical result area of your work can lead to the end of your job as well. For example, the key result areas of management are planning, organizing, staffing, delegating, supervising, measuring, and reporting. These are the results that a manager must get to succeed in his or her area of responsibility. A weakness in any one of these areas can lead to underachievement and failure as a manager. The key result areas of salespeople are prospecting, building rapport and trust, identifying needs, presenting persuasively, answering objections, closing the sale, and getting referrals and resales. Poor performance in any one of these key skills leads to lower sales and sometimes failure as a salesperson. Whatever you do, there are essential skills that you must have for you to do your job in an excellent fashion. These demands are constantly changing. There are core competencies that you have developed that make it possible for you to do your job in the first place, but there are always key results that are central to your work and which determine your success or failure in your job. What are yours? A key result area is defined as something for which you are completely responsible. This means that if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. A key result area is an activity that is under your control. It is an output of your work that becomes an input or a contributing factor to the work of others. The starting point of high performance is for you to, first of all, identify the key result areas of your work. Discuss them with your boss. Make a list of your most important output responsibilities and make sure that the people above you, next to you, and below you are in agreement with it. For example, for a salesperson, opening new accounts is a key result area. This activity is the key to the entire sales process. Closing a sale is a key result area. When the sale is made, it triggers the activities of many other people to produce and deliver the product or service. For a company owner or key executive, negotiating a bank loan is a key result area. Hiring the right people and delegating effectively are both key result areas. For a receptionist or secretary, typing a letter or answering the phone and transferring the call quickly and efficiently are defined as key result areas. The employee's ability to perform these tasks quickly and efficiently largely determines her pay and promotability. Once you've determined your key result areas, the second step is for you to grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of those areas. Where are you strong and where are you weak? Where are you getting excellent results and where are you underperforming? Here's the rule. Your weakest key result area sets the height at which you can use all your other skills and abilities. This rule says that you could be exceptional in 6 out of 7 key result areas, but really poor in the 7th. And your poor performance in the 7th area will hold you back and determine how much you achieve with all your other skills. This weakness will act as a drag on your effectiveness and can be a constant source of friction and frustration. For example, delegating is a key result area for a manager. This skill is the key leverage point that enables a manager to manage and get results done through others. A manager who cannot delegate properly is held back from using all his other skills at their maximum level of effectiveness. Poor delegation skills alone can lead to failure in a job. One of the major reasons for procrastination and delay in the workplace is that people avoid jobs and activities in those areas where they have performed poorly in the past. Instead of setting a goal and making a plan to improve in a particular area, most people avoid that area altogether, which just makes the situation worse. The reverse of this is that the better you become in a particular skill area, the more motivated you will be to perform that function, the less you will procrastinate, and the more determined you will be to get it finished. The fact is that everybody has both strengths and weaknesses. Refuse to rationalize, justify, or defend your areas of weakness. Instead, identify them clearly. Set a goal and make a plan to become very good at each of those areas. Just think, you may be only one critical skill away from top performance at your job. So here's one of the greatest questions you will ever ask and answer. What one skill, if I developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on my career? Let me repeat that. This is the great question. What one skill, if you developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on your career? You should use this question to guide your career for the rest of your life. Look into yourself for the answer. You usually know what it is. Ask your boss this question. Ask your coworkers. Ask your friends and your family, whatever it is, find out and then go to work to bring up your performance in this area. The good news is that all business skills are learnable. If anyone else is excellent in that particular key result area, this is proof that you can become excellent as well if you decide to. One of the fastest and best ways to stop procrastinating and get more things done faster is for you to become absolutely excellent in your key result areas. This can be as important as anything else you do in your life and career. Now, here are 2 exercises you can use to put these ideas into action. First, identify the key result areas of your work. What are they? Write down the key results you have to get to do your job in an excellent fashion. Give yourself a grade from 1 to 10 on each one. And then, determine the one key skill that if you did it in an excellent manner, would help you the most in your work. Second, take this list to your boss and discuss it with him or her. Invite honest feedback and appraisal. Remember, you can only get better when you're open to the constructive inputs of other people. Discuss your results with your staff and coworkers. Talk them over with your spouse. Make a habit of doing this analysis regularly for the rest of your career. Never stop improving. This decision alone can change your life. Chapter 8, The Law of 3. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Do what you can with what you have, right where you are." There are 3 core tasks that you perform that contain most of the value that you contribute to your business or organization. Your ability to accurately identify these 3 key tasks and then to focus on them most of the time is essential for you to achieve at your best. Let me tell you a true story. 3 months after her first full-day coaching session with me in San Diego, Cynthia stood up and told the group a story. She said, "When I came here 90 days ago, you claimed that you would show me how to double my income and double my time off within 12 months. This sounded completely unrealistic, but I was willing to give it a try." She went on. "On the first day, you asked me to write down a list of everything that I did over the course of a week or a month. I came up with 17 tasks that I was responsible for. My problem was that I was completely overwhelmed with work. I was working 10 to 12 hours per day, 6 days per week, and not spending enough time with my husband and my two young children. But I didn't see any way out. I had been working for 8 years for a fast-growing entrepreneurial company in the high-tech area, where there always seemed to be an overwhelming amount of work to do and never enough time. Well, she continued with her story. She said, "Once I had made up this list, you then told me to ask this question. If you could only do one thing on this list all day long, which one task would contribute the greatest value to your company?" Once I had identified that task, which was quite easy, I put a circle around that number. You then asked, "If you could only do one more thing on your list of key tasks, which would be the second activity that contributes the most value to your company?" Once I had identified the second most important task, you asked me the same question with regard to the third most important task. You then said something that shocked me at the time. You said that fully 90% of the value that you contribute to your company is contained in those three tasks, whatever they are. Everything else you do is either a support task or a complementary task that could probably be delegated, downsized, outsourced, or eliminated. Cynthia continued with her story. "As I looked at the three tasks, I realized that these were the three things that I did that contributed the most value to my company. Now, this was on a Friday. On Monday morning at 10 o'clock, I met with my boss and explained to him what I had discovered. I told him that I needed his help in delegating and outsourcing all my work except for those three key tasks. I felt that if I could work on those three tasks exclusively all day long, I could more than double my contribution to the company. Then I said to him that if I doubled my contribution, I would like to be paid twice as much." She said, "My boss was completely silent. He looked at my list of key tasks, looked back up at me, looked at the list again, and then said, 'Okay.' It was now 10:21 a.m. according to the clock on the wall behind him. He said, 'You're right. These are the three most important things you do that you contribute to this company, and they're the three things that you do the best. I will help you to delegate and downsize all these other minor tasks to free you up to work full-time on these three key task areas. And if you double your contribution, I'll pay you twice as much.'" Cynthia concluded her story by saying this. She said, "He did, and then I did, and then he did. He helped me delegate and assign my minor tasks so that I could concentrate on my top three jobs. As a result, I doubled my output over the next 30 days, and he doubled my income." She said, "I've been working very hard for more than 8 years, and I doubled my income in less than 1 month by focusing all my time and energy on my three key tasks. Not only that, instead of working 10 and 12-hour days, I work from 8 to 5 and spend time in the evenings and on the weekends with my husband and my children. Focusing on my key tasks has transformed my life." Perhaps the most important word in the world of work is contribution. Your rewards, both financial and emotional, will always be in direct proportion to your results, to the value of your contribution. If you want to increase your rewards, you must focus on increasing the value of what you do. You must dedicate yourself to contributing more results to your company. And there are always three key tasks that contribute the most. Here's an exercise we give to our coaching clients very early in the process. We give them a sheet of paper and then ask them, "In 30 seconds, write down your three most important goals in life right now." What we have found is that when you only have 30 seconds to write your three most important goals, your answers will be as accurate as if you had 30 minutes or 3 hours. Your subconscious mind seems to go into a form of hyperdrive, and your three most important goals will pop out of your head and onto the paper, often to the surprise of the person doing the exercise. In 80% or more of cases, the three common goals that most people have are, first, a financial and career goal, second, a family or personal relationship goal, and third, a health or fitness goal. And this is as it should be. These are the three most important areas of life. If you give yourself a grade on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, and apply this scale to each of these three areas, you can immediately identify where you are doing well in life and where you need some improvement. Try it yourself and see. Give this test to your spouse or your children. The answers can be quite revealing. Later in our coaching program, we expand this exercise by asking the following questions. 1. What are your 3 most important business or career goals right now? 2. What are your 3 most important family or relationship goals right now? 3. What are your 3 most important financial goals right now? 4. What are your 3 most important health goals right now? 5. What are your 3 most important personal and professional development goals right now? 6. What are your 3 most important social and community goals right now? And 7. What are your 3 biggest problems or concerns in life right now? When you force yourself to ask and answer these questions in 30 seconds or less, you will often be amazed at the answers. Whatever your answers, they will usually be an accurate snapshot of your true situation in life at the moment. These answers will tell you what's really important to you. While you're setting goals and priorities, getting organized, concentrating single-mindedly on one task at a time, and disciplining yourself to complete your most important tasks, you must never forget that your ultimate goal is to live a long, happy, and healthy life. The main reason that you develop time management skills is so that you can get everything that is really important in your work completed so that you can free up more time and more time to do the things in your personal life that give you the greatest happiness and satisfaction. Fully 85% of your happiness in life will come from happy relationships with other people, especially those closest to you and the members of your family. The critical determinant of the quality of your relationships is the amount of time that you spend face-to-face with the people you love and who love you in return. The purpose of time management, of eating that frog and getting more done in less time, is to enable you to spend more face time with the people you care about, doing the things that give you the greatest amount of joy in life. Here's the rule. It is quality of time at work that counts, and quantity of time at home that matters. To keep your life in balance, you should resolve to work all the time you work. When you go to work, put your head down and work the whole time. Start a little earlier, stay a little later, work a little harder. Don't waste time. Every minute that you spend in idle chit-chat with coworkers is time taken away from the work that you must accomplish if you want to keep your job. Even worse, time that you waste at work often has to be taken away from the members of your family. You either have to stay late or take work home and work in the evenings. By not working effectively and efficiently during your workday, you create unnecessary stress and you deprive the members of your family of the very best person you can possibly be. There's a story of a little girl who goes to her mother and asks, "Mommy, why does Daddy bring a briefcase full of work home each night and never spends any time with the family?" The mother replies sympathetically, "Well, honey, you have to understand. Daddy can't get his work done at the office, so he has to bring it home and get caught up here." The little girl then asks, "If that's the case, why don't they put him in a slower class?" One of the most important sayings of the ancient Greeks was, "Moderation in all things." You need balance between your work and your personal life. You need to set priorities at work and concentrate on your most valuable tasks. At the same time, you must never lose sight of the fact that the reason for working efficiently is so that you can enjoy a higher quality of life at home with your family. Sometimes people come up to me and ask, "How do I achieve balance between my work and my home life?" I ask them in return, "How often does a tightrope walker balance when he's on the high wire?" After a few seconds of thinking, they almost always say, "All the time." I say, "That's the same situation with balance between family and home life. You have to do it all the time. You never reach a point where you have attained it perfectly. You have to work at it." Your goal should be to perform at your very best at work, to get the very most done and enjoy the very highest level of rewards possible for you in your career. Simultaneously, you must always remember to smell the flowers along the way. Never lose sight of the real reasons why you work as hard as you do and why you are so determined to accomplish the very most with the time that you invest. The more time you spend face to face with the people you love, the happier you will be. Now, here's two ideas to put this into action. Number one, determine the three most important things that you do in your work. Ask, if I could only do one thing all day long, which one task contributes the greatest value to my career? Do this exercise two more times. Once you have identified your big three, concentrate on them single-mindedly all day long. Second, identify your three most important goals in life in each area. Organize them by priority. Make plans for their accomplishment and work on your plans every single day. You will be amazed at what you achieve in the months and years ahead. Chapter 9. Prepare thoroughly before you begin. No matter what the level of your ability, you have more potential than you can ever develop in a lifetime, is what James T. McKay said. One of the best ways for you to overcome procrastination and get more things done faster is for you to have everything you need at hand before you begin. When you are fully prepared, you are like a cocked gun or an archer with an arrow pulled back taut in the bow. You just need one small mental push to get started on your highest value tasks. This is like getting everything ready to prepare a complete meal, such as eating a big frog. You get all the ingredients out on the counter in front of you, and you then begin putting the dinner together one step at a time. Begin by clearing off your desk or workspace so that you only have one task in front of you. If necessary, put everything on the floor or on the table behind you. Gather all the information, reports, details, papers, and work materials that you will require to complete the job. Have them at hand so that you can reach them without getting up or moving away. Be sure that you have all writing materials, computer disks, access codes, email addresses, and everything else you need to start and continue working until the job is done. Set up your work area so that it is comfortable, attractive, and conducive to working for long periods. Especially, make sure that you have a comfortable chair that supports your back and allows your feet to sit flat on the floor. The most productive people take the time to create a work area where they enjoy spending time. The cleaner and neater your work area before you begin, the easier it is for you to get started and keep going. One of the great techniques for overcoming procrastination, eating frogs, is for you to get everything completely ready that you need to work in advance. When everything is laid out in order and sequence, you feel much more like getting on with the job. It's amazing how many books never get written, how many degrees never get completed, and how many life-changing tasks never get started because people fail to take the first step of preparing everything in advance. Los Angeles attracts people from all over America who dream of writing a successful movie script and selling it to one of the studios. They move to Los Angeles and work at low-level jobs for years while they dream of writing and selling a popular script. Recently, the Los Angeles Times sent a reporter out onto Wilshire Boulevard to interview passersby. When people came along, he asked them one question: how is your script coming? 3 out of 4 passersby replied, almost done. The sad fact is that almost done probably meant not yet started. Don't let this happen to you. Once you've completed your preparations, it's essential that you launch immediately towards your goals. Get started. Do the first thing, whatever it is. My personal rule is get it 80% right and then correct it later. Run it up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes. Don't expect perfection the first time or even the first few times. Be prepared to fail over and over before you get it right. The biggest enemies we have to overcome on the road to success are not lack of ability or opportunity, but fears of failure and rejection, and the doubts that they trigger. The only way to overcome your fears is to do the thing you fear, and as Emerson wrote, the death of fear is certain. Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey player, once said, "You miss every shot you don't take." Once you've completed your preparations, have the courage to take the first action, and everything else will follow from that. The way you develop the courage you need is to act as if you already had the courage and behave accordingly. When you sit down with everything in front of you ready to go, assume the body language of high performance. Sit up straight. Sit forward and away from the back of the chair. Carry yourself as though you were an efficient, effective, high-performing personality. Then, pick up the first item and say to yourself, "Let's get to work," and plunge in. Once you've started, keep going until the job is finished. Here are two exercises that you can use to apply this lesson. First, take a good look at your desk or office, both at home and at the office. Ask yourself, what kind of a person works in an environment like that? The cleaner and neater your work environment, the more positive, productive, and confident you will feel. Second, resolve today to clean up your desk and office completely so that you feel effective, efficient, and ready to get going each time you sit down to work. Chapter 10. Take it one oil barrel at a time. There's an old saying that by the yard it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. One of the best ways to overcome procrastination is for you to get your mind off the huge task in front of you and focus on a single action that you can take. One of the best ways to eat a large frog is for you to take it one bite at a time. Confucius wrote that a journey of 1,000 leagues begins with a single step. This is a great strategy for overcoming procrastination and getting more things done faster. Many years ago, driving an old Land Rover, I crossed the heart of the Sahara Desert, the Tenezereft, deep in modern-day Algeria. By that time, the desert had been abandoned by the French for years, and the original refueling stations were empty and shuttered. The desert was 500 miles across in a single stretch, without water, food, a blade of grass, or even a fly. It was totally flat, like a broad yellow sand parking lot that stretched to the horizon in all directions. More than 1,300 people had perished in the crossing of that stretch of the Sahara in previous years. Often, drifting sands had obliterated the track across the desert, and the travelers had gotten lost in the night, never to be found alive again. To counter this lack of features in the terrain as you cross that flat wasteland, the French had marked the track with black 55-gallon oil drums 5 kilometers apart, which was exactly the curvature of the earth. Because of this, wherever you were in the daytime, you could see 2 oil barrels, the one you had just passed and the one 5 kilometers ahead. And that was all you needed to stay on course. All you had to do was to steer for the next oil barrel. As a result, we were able to cross the biggest desert in the world by simply taking it one oil barrel at a time. In the same way, you can accomplish the biggest task in your life by disciplining yourself to take it just one step at a time. Your job is to go as far as you can see. You will then see far enough to go further. To accomplish a great task, you must step out in faith and have complete confidence that your next step will soon become clear to you. Remember the wonderful advice, leap and the net will appear. A great life, a great career, is built by performing one task at a time, quickly and well, and then going on to the next task. Financial independence is achieved by saving a little money every single month, year after year. Health and fitness are accomplished by just eating a little less and exercising a little more, day after day and month after month. You can overcome procrastination and accomplish extraordinary things by just taking the first step, by getting started towards your goal, and then taking it one step, one oil barrel at a time. Here are 2 exercises you can use to apply this principle. First, select any goal, task, or project in your life where you have been procrastinating, and then make a list of all the steps you will need to take to eventually complete the task. Second, Take just one step immediately. Sometimes all you need to get started is to sit down and complete one item on the list, and then do one more, and so on. You will be amazed at what you eventually accomplish. Chapter 11. Upgrade Your Key Skills. The only certain means of success, Ogmandino wrote, is to render more and better service than is expected of you, no matter what your task may be. This is one of the most important personal productivity principles of all. Learn what you need to learn so that you can do your work in an excellent fashion. The better you become at eating a particular type of frog, the more likely you are to just plunge in and get it done. A major reason for delay and procrastination is a feeling of inadequacy, lack of confidence, or inability in a key area of the task. A single area where you feel weak or deficient is enough to discourage you from starting the job at all. Continually upgrade your skills in your key result areas. Remember, however good you are today, your knowledge and skill is becoming obsolete at a rapid rate. As Pat Riley, the basketball coach, said, "If you're not getting better, you're getting worse." One of the most helpful of all time management techniques is for you to get better at your key tasks. Personal and professional improvement is one of the best time savers there is. The better you are at a key task, the more motivated you are to launch into it. The better you are, the more energy and enthusiasm you have. When you know that you can do a job well, you find it easier to overcome procrastination and get the job done faster and better than under any other circumstances. One piece of information or one additional skill can make an enormous difference in your ability to do the job well. Identify the most important things you do and then make a plan to continually upgrade your skills in those areas. Here's the rule. Continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. Refuse to allow a weakness or a lack of ability in any area to hold you back. Everything is learnable, and what others have learned, you can learn as well. When I began to write my first book, I was discouraged because I could only use the Hunt and Peck method of typing. I soon realized that I had to learn to touch type if I was ever going to write and rewrite a 300-page book. So I bought a touch typing program for my computer and practiced for 20 to 30 minutes every day for 3 months. By the end of that time, I was typing 40 to 50 words per minute. With this additional skill, I've been able to write more than 40 books that have now been published all over the world. The best news is that you can learn whatever skills you need to be more productive and more effective. You can become a touch typist if necessary. You can become a proficient expert with a computer. You can become a terrific negotiator or a super salesperson. You can learn to speak in public. You can learn to write effectively and well. These are all skills that you can acquire as soon as you decide to and make them a priority. There are 3 steps to mastery. First, read in your field for at least 1 hour every day. Get up a little earlier in the morning and read for 30 to 60 minutes in a book or magazine that contains information that can help you to be more effective and productive at what you do. Second, take every course and seminar available on key skills that can help you. Attend the conventions and business meetings of your profession or occupation. Go to the sessions and workshops. Sit up front and take notes. Purchase the audio recordings of the programs. Dedicate yourself to becoming one of the most knowledgeable and competent people in your field. And third, listen to audio programs like this in your car. The average car owner sits behind the wheel 500 to 1,000 hours each year while driving from place to place. Turn driving time into learning time. You can become one of the smartest, most capable, and highest paid people in your field simply by listening to educational audio programs as you drive around. The more you learn and know, the more confident and motivated you feel. The better you become, the more capable you will be of doing even more in your field. The more you learn, the more you can learn. Just as you can build your physical muscles through physical exercise, you build your mental muscles with mental exercises. And there is no limit to how far or how fast you can advance, except for the limits you place on your own imagination. So here are two exercises for you. First, resolve today to become a do-it-to-yourself project. Become a lifelong student of your craft. School is never out for the professional. Second, identify the key skills that can help you the most to achieve better and faster results. Determine the core competencies that you will need to have in the future to lead your field. Whatever they are, set a goal, make a plan, and begin developing and increasing your ability in those areas. Decide to be the very best at what you do, and it could change your life. Chapter 12. Leverage Your Special Talents. Harvard professor Dean Briggs once wrote, "Do your work. Not just your work and no more, but a little bit more for the lavishing sake. That little bit more that is worth all the rest." You are remarkable. You have special talents and abilities that make you different from every other person who has ever lived. There are frogs you can eat or learn to eat that can make you one of the most important people in your business or organization. There are certain things that you can do or that you can learn to do that can make you extraordinarily valuable to yourself and others. Your job is to identify your special areas of uniqueness and then to commit yourself to becoming very, very good in those areas. Your most valuable asset in terms of cash flow is your earning ability. This is your ability to work, and it enables you to bring tens of thousands of dollars into your life every year by simply applying your knowledge and skills to your world. This is your ability to eat specific frogs faster and better than others. You could lose everything you own, your house, your car, your job, your bank account, but as long as you still had your earning ability, you could make it all back and more besides. Take stock of your unique talents and abilities on a regular basis. What is it that you do especially well? What are you good at? What do you do easily and well that is difficult for other people? Looking back at your career, what has been the most responsible for your success in life and work to date? What have been the most significant frogs that you have eaten in the past? You see, you are designed in such a way that you will most enjoy doing the very things that you have the ability to be the very best at. What is it that you enjoy the most about your work? What kind of frogs do you enjoy eating the most? The very fact that you enjoy something means that you probably have within yourself the capability to be excellent in that area. One of your great responsibilities in life is for you to decide for yourself what it is that you really love to do, and then to throw your whole heart into doing that special thing very, very well. Look at your various tasks and responsibilities. What is it that you do that gets you the most compliments and praise from other people? What do you do that positively affects the work and performance of other people more than anything else? Successful people are invariably those who have taken the time to identify what they do well and most enjoy. They know what they do that really makes a difference in their work, and they concentrate on that task or area of activity exclusively. You should always focus your best energies and abilities on starting and completing those key tasks where your unique talents and abilities enable you to do it well and make a significant contribution. You cannot do everything, but you can do those few things in which you excel, the few things that can really make a difference. Now, here are two exercises for you. First, continually ask yourself these key questions. What am I really good at? What do I enjoy the most about my work? What has been most responsible for my success in the past? If I could do any job at all, what job would it be? If you won the lottery or came into an enormous amount of money and you could choose any job or any part of a job to do for the indefinite future, what work would you choose? Second, Develop a personal plan to prepare yourself to do your most important tasks in an excellent fashion. Focus on those areas where you have special talents and which you most enjoy doing. This is the key to unlocking your personal potential. Chapter 13. Identify your key constraints. Alexander Graham Bell once said, "Concentrate all your thoughts on the task at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought into a focus." Between where you are today and any goal or objective that you want to accomplish, there is usually one major constraint that must be overcome before you can achieve that major goal. Your job is to identify it clearly. Ask yourself these questions. What is holding you back? What sets the speed at which you achieve your goals? What determines how fast you move from where you are to where you want to go? What stops you or holds you back from eating the frogs that can really make a difference? Why aren't you at your goal already? These are some of the most important questions you will ever ask and answer in achieving high levels of personal productivity and effectiveness. Whatever you have to do, there is always a limiting factor that determines how quickly and well you get it done. Your job is to study the task and identify the limiting factor or constraint within it. You must then focus all of your energies on alleviating that single choke point. In virtually every task, large or small, there is a single factor that sets the speed at which you achieve the goal or complete the job. What is it? Concentrate your mental energies on that one key area. This can be the most productive use of your time and talents. Now, this constraint may be a person whose help or decision you need, a resource that you require, a weakness in some part of the organization or something else. But the limiting factor is always there, and it is always your job to find it. For example, the purpose of a business is to create and keep a customer. By doing this in sufficient quantities, the company makes a profit and continues to grow and flourish. In business, there is a limiting factor or choke point that determines how quickly and well the company achieves this purpose. It may be the marketing, the level of sales, or the sales force itself. It may be the costs of operation or the methods of production. It may be the level of cash flow or costs. The success of the company may be determined by the competition, the customers, or the current marketplace. One of these factors, more than anything else, determines how quickly the company achieves its goals of growth and profitability. What is it for your business? The accurate identification of the limiting factor in any process and the focus on that factor can usually bring about more progress in a shorter period of time than any other single activity. Now, the 80-20 rule also applies to the constraints in your life and in your work. What this means is that 80% of the constraints, the factors that are holding you back from achieving your goals, are internal. They are within yourself, within your own personal abilities, qualities, habits, disciplines, or competencies. Or they are contained within your own company or organization. Only 20% of the limiting factors are external to you or to your organization. Only 20% are on the outside in the form of competition, markets, governments, or other organizations. Your key constraint can be something small and not particularly obvious. Sometimes it requires that you make a list of every step in the process and examine every activity to determine exactly what it is that is holding you back. Sometimes it can be a single negative perception or objection on the part of customers that is slowing down the whole sales process. Sometimes it is the absence of a single feature that is holding back the growth of sales of a product or service line. Look into your company honestly. Look within your boss, your coworkers, and members of your staff to see if there is a key weakness that is holding you or your company back, which is acting as a brake on the achievement of your key goals. In your own life, you must have the honesty to look deeply into yourself for the limiting factor or limiting skill that sets the speed at which you achieve your own personal goals. Successful people always begin the analysis of constraints by asking the question, "What is it in me that is holding me back?" They accept complete responsibility for their lives and look to themselves for both the cause and cure of their problems. Keep asking, "What sets the speed at which I get the results I want?" The definition of the constraint determines the strategy that you use to alleviate it. The failure to identify the correct constraint, or the identification of the wrong constraint, can lead you off in the wrong direction. You can end up solving the wrong problem. A major corporation, a client of mine, was experiencing declining sales. They concluded that the major constraint was the sales force and sales management. They spent an enormous amount of money reorganizing the management and retraining the salespeople. They later found out that the primary reason that their sales were down was a mistake made by an accountant that had accidentally priced their products too high relative to their competition in the marketplace. Once they revamped their pricing, their sales went back up and they returned to profitability. Behind every constraint or choke point, once it is located and alleviated successfully, you will find another constraint or limiting factor. Whether it is getting to work on time in the morning or building a successful career, there are always limiting factors and bottlenecks that set the speed of your progress. Your job is to find them and then to focus your energies on alleviating them as quickly as possible. Often, starting off your day with the removal of a key bottleneck or constraint fills you full of energy and personal power. It propels you into following through and completing the job. And there is always something. Often, alleviating a key constraint or limiting factor is the most important frog you could eat at that moment. Now, here's two exercises for you. First, identify your most important goal in life today. What is it? What one goal, if you achieved it, would have the greatest positive effect on your life? What one career accomplishment would have the greatest positive impact in your work life? Second, determine the one constraint, internal or external, that sets the speed at which you accomplish this goal. Ask, "Why don't I have it already? What is it in me that is holding me back?" Whatever your answers, take action immediately. Do something, do anything, but get started.
End of Disc 2.